For 45 days, Jason Lee lived in NASA's Human Exploration Research Analog Habitat, also known as feeling like you were living on Mars, which is pretty cool. And we wanted to get his perspective on what that was like. And Mr. Lee is also an associate professor in residence in the School of Mechanical, Aerospace, and Manufacturing Engineering at UConn. And he joins us now. Jason, welcome to WICC. What an incredible experience. How did you manage to get on this journey, my friend?
Morning, Melissa. It was actually kind of a fluke. 2 years ago, I heard a seminar from a woman who said that she was an analog astronaut. I didn't really know what that meant. So I Googled it, and I ran into NASA's page on analog missions, and there was an apply here button. I applied, and it was a very simple form, and I didn't expect to hear anything. And a year later, so this was last year, I got a call. And from Houston, I didn't think it was a real call because I got spam calls all the time. But I figured, you know, it's a Houston area code, so maybe it's NASA. So they told me to come in, do some medical tests, and then they flew me out in fall. And then this past March, they called me up, let me know I was on the crew.
So first of all, Jason Lee, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's why we just fill things out and you never know what's going to happen next. I mean,
absolutely.
What an incredible phone call. And so you lived for 45 days in Hera, the habitat that's at the Johnson Space Center. I've never been there before. This is in Texas, correct?
That's in Houston, Texas, yes.
So tell us about this. I mean, and what is it like to live on Mars, essentially? I'm very fascinated by this.
Yeah, so it's everyone asks if there's a gravity component. No, there's no gravity component. We are physically on Earth, so the experiment was completely on isolation, the effects of how different technologies can affect us in terms of following procedures. So four of us, me and three other crew members, so for 45 days, we have very specific tasks that we would complete. It's a combination of 18 different experiments that are run throughout the mission. And these are experiments conducted by professors at different universities all across the U.S. And this was also a work between NASA and the UAE. So there was a combined effort there. And then a lot of NASA researchers also were putting in one of these 18 experiments.
So, Jason Lee, this is supposed to feel like you are actually on Mars, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. There's an isolation perspective component. You lose your phones, so there's a lot of communication components where you feel much more isolated. We got to talk to our family once a week, and then there was a lot of simulated VR simulations that made you really feel like you were on Mars.
What would you say are the biggest challenges? Obviously, the cutoff of communication, I would imagine, in today's world, that had to be challenging. But what would you say are some of the hardest things about living on Mars versus Earth?
Yeah, I mean, like they said, the experiment was isolation. So communication definitely was a huge challenge. We got the newspapers once a day for, you know, Monday through Friday. So we had some idea of what was going on outside, but we only got to talk to our families once a week, and then, you know, we're simulating the travel to Mars and back. So in the middle of mission was very long time delays. So at those times, we didn't get to communicate face-to-face with our voice-to-voice live with our families. Instead, we had to record messages and send it to them, and we wouldn't receive any messages from them until the weekend. So that part was, you know, challenging. Yeah, the communication and we did a lot of simulated emergencies, simulating, you know, air contaminations, radiation contaminations, and then following specific procedures depending on what alarms and the alarm sounds and lights that would go off. And if you follow the wrong procedures, the alarms will continue going and you have to figure out, you know, what else that you need to follow.
Was there any training, Jason Lee, involved before you got to live on Mars you know, so to speak, for 45 days? Like, did you have to, I mean, so you just gave emergency simulations. That sounds terrifying to me. I understand, obviously, you guys were safe because you're in, you know, simulations. But to me, did you have to go through any kind of training, or was it sort of like, hey, figure it out as you go?
Yeah, I know. We got a lot of training. So we had 2 weeks of training. So we came to Houston 2 weeks before. So the habitat's inside a warehouse. And so we'll be right outside the habitat during training. We'll go in. So we follow all the procedures. They're trying to simulate what actual astronauts do. So actual astronauts will follow. They do 2 years of training before they go on any mission. So we did a truncated version, right, the two-week version. And some of the emergencies we got trained on, some of them they didn't train us on. But they tell us where to find the procedures, how to identify what kind of emergencies we might be seeing by looking at the computer screens, and then figuring out where all the equipment was. Right. So in the beginning of mission, when the emergencies went off, that was when we were the most nervous because we're still learning the systems. And there is an inventory list where it would tell us where to find the different tools and, you know, different filters to replace things. But we're still learning. Everything is in acronyms, L1G, R4. You have to figure out, does that mean the flooring? Does that mean the second floor wall cabinets? So it took us it was a little bit of a learning curve, but it was a lot of fun. I tell people it's kind of like if you've ever been in an escape room, you have to like figure out these different puzzles, but you're doing that 24/7.
Yeah, and for 45 days. I mean, Jason, did you ever want to like jump ship? No pun intended.
There was always a joke in the middle. Sometimes there was we would be a little bit stressed. And then in the middle of the night, we would joke that one of us would like sneak out. And inside that warehouse that we are in for 45 days, there's another analog mission going on, which you may have heard of called Chappia. Chappia is a habitat on Mars. It's much larger space than ours. And they were there for a year. And so they have a larger space, and we always would joke that one of us would sneak out, run over to their habitat, and then run back in the morning. But it was a bit stressful at times when things weren't going the way we expect them to, or like there was a heavier workload. But luckily, I had a good crew, and we always supported each other.
A UConn professor spent 45 days experiencing life on Mars here on Earth. Jason Lee is with us, telling us about the NASA Hera habitat at Johnson Space Center in Texas and the simulation journey of living on Mars. And, Jason, I have to ask this question because I think I'd get in trouble if I didn't. Did you watch The Martian starring Matt Damon before you did this journey?
I've watched it a number of times. I brought the movie and the book with me in there. Yeah.
There you go. Was any of it accurate?
You know what? Some of the emergency components were accurate.
All right, Matt Damon.
So from that perspective, yeah, absolutely.
Nice. We like that. We love that. All right. Very, very cool. Now, here's probably a very dumb question, but I'm going to ask it anyways, Jason, because I'm very fascinated by this. So when you do this type of a simulation, are you now cleared to go to space?
So absolutely not. This is completely separate, and we are trained to work in this very specific habitat. The idea behind this analog itself is not specifically for us as the crew, but for NASA to collect data. So we're a single data point. There's four missions this year. I think they're about to start the fourth one. We were the second one this year. And they use it to learn how to better train the actual astronauts.
That's really neat. That's very cool. Would you ever want to go to space after experiencing this?
Absolutely, yeah. I still aspire to go to space, whether as a commercial or a NASA astronaut. I mean, there's so many opportunities, I think, in the next decade or two for everyday people to go up there.
Do you feel like after doing this experience, Jason Lee, are there elements of this that you can now, I mean, granted, you just did it, but could you put this into your future curriculum for your students at UConn?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to incorporate that now. So I teach a number of project-based courses, and one of the two of the big things that I feel like I learned from this experience is the importance of communication, because we did a lot of communication delay exercises. There's a lot of struggle, right? I remember having an experience where there was a problem that we were trying to solve, and I asked a question, but it wouldn't be until 20 minutes later that I would receive an answer. So I made a decision just to start working on it. And I hear on the communication speakers, they tell me to stand down, return back. And so it's frustrating if you don't communicate effectively. So I'm going to take some of the communication exercise that we did in that habitat and bring it back to my students. And the teamwork aspect is huge, because I do work in teams in general, but when you work in a team for 45 days and you live and you sleep and you eat together, completely different experience. So, you know, for my project-based courses, teamwork is really important for our students. And so I try to really emphasize components that I learned there to my students.
Was it hard to come back to Earth life, Jason?
It was an adjustment, but one of the things that we really miss is the food. So that was exciting. The first night when we got out, we walked into a taco shop in Houston, and we were so excited. And I think they all thought we were probably crazy. We were so excited because it was the first time in 45 days that we smelled cooked food, and that was the best. But other than that, I think we adjusted relatively quickly back. The fact that we were isolated meant that we had a regimen and a schedule, so we didn't need to think about what we're going to do the next day because somebody told us exactly what to do. And so coming back now where I need to tell my students what to do, when to do it, it's a nice mental relief. You know, you need to focus when you're in the habitat on the emergency at hand. But after an hour of that task, you know you're moving on to the next task no matter what.
Mm. Did you ever feel like you lost track of time?
So it's interesting. In a way, yes, and in a way, no. So we were always tracking how many more days till we got out. So we did a count up and then we did a countdown. Somebody told us before we went in that that's mentally easier, initially at least. So we counted up until we're halfway and the countdown. And then every hour was kind of dictated to us. So from the day to day, I definitely lost track of time because it was just so go, go, go all the time. And you don't think, you just tell me what to do, I'll do that. So from a short-term perspective, yes. But from a long-term perspective, we're always aware of how many more days we had.
What an adventure. And Jason Lee, I want to thank you so much for sharing all of this with us here on WICC. Super fascinating. Can't wait to see which journey you take next.
Thank you so much, Melissa.
You're very welcome. UConn Professor Jason Lee right here on WICC.